Bokor tov. Good morning. And this morning, we'll be introducing. We'll be introducing the practice of equanimity. So it's good to have the sheet in front of you. And how is the sound at the back? Is it okay? Very good. So there are two main ways that we practice equanimity, that we develop equanimity. One way is through our basic mindfulness practice. We learn to be present more and more with the entire range of experience. And we learn to be equanimous, we learn to have balance and non-reactivity to a large extent by noticing when we become unbalanced and reactive. So, in other words, we take reactivity as an opportunity for learning and for development. And so there are ways that we develop this equanimity by noticing reactivity. As I was mentioning in the talk, we become more equanimous by bringing mindfulness and also compassion and kindness to difficult kinds of experiences. And so that occurs especially in our mindfulness practice. It can occur also when we're doing the Brahma Vihara, the loving kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity. There's a Tibetan line from what are called the Lojong teachings, which goes, "Turn all obstacles into the path of practice." Meaning, let everything be learning, a learning opportunity. It's not easy, but that's the understanding of practice. So when you have difficult experience in meditation or difficult experience at home, at least part of you can say to yourself, "Oh, another opportunity to learn. So good." Okay, not our usual attitude, right? But that becomes possible. Some, maybe 5% of you knows that, okay? 95%, but 5% knows that. So, we especially develop an equanimity through being with difficulties and challenges. But then also, helpful to equanimity is developing more concentration, more stability of mind, more mindfulness. These are so, everything's interconnected, right? All of these qualities are part of developing equanimity. And then the second main practice where we develop equanimity is through the practice of the Brahma Vihara. And this is where the equanimity practice is similar to what we've done so far, namely that we repeat phrases, you know, and some of us may do it a little differently, but the main method is that we repeat phrases which tend to encourage equanimity, balance. But here, the balance is not general, and it's not so much focused on what I am experiencing right now, but it's focused on really my attitude to myself, my benefactor, my friend, neutral person, and so forth. So this is really equanimity in relationship to different beings. And we're still cultivating equanimity, but the practice is different. Okay? And so here we might say a phrase, like the one that I use is, I might say this, thinking of myself, no matter what I wish for, things are as they are. That's the one that I use. And so I sometimes would say that, no matter what I wish for, things are as they are. And I think of something that is happening that I don't like. I said, like, no matter what I wish for, things are as they are. And I go, like that. And I stay with that for a while. And then I say it again. Okay? So again, here we maybe have one or two phrases. And we phrase the one that I have a little bit differently in here, so it's not, so it says, no matter what I wish for, things are as they appear, unfold, and pass away. Which, for me, I can't whistle it so easily, so I say things that are as they are. So it's a little bit, my experience in doing equanimity practice is like I sometimes would say a phrase and then something comes up in my mind, oh, that's hard. And I sit with that for a few seconds and then I continue. So I remember doing, at one point, I think I mentioned, I did about 1 month of Brahma-Vihara practice and I did equanimity practice and I was doing it in relation to my mother, who was quite old at that time. And so I knew that, you know, she would die in the next 10 years, very likely. And so I would sit, and I would, no matter what I wish for, things are as they are, I would sit and I would almost like feel my own resistance to her dying, right? That would come up. I didn't choose to go there, but it would come up naturally, right? And I would sit with that, and in doing that over time, it was a kind of meditation a little bit on death, because most of us don't want to look at that so much, right? So it was, I didn't choose to say, okay, let me bring up death, but it just happens, right? It was like that. But your experience can be different. So you may say your phrase, and like all of the practices, we don't try to control what happens. We just say the phrase and then we let occur whatever occurs. But the important thing here is that the phrases are in relationship to a particular person. So I might use my same phrase, not just for myself, but I might do it for my benefactor. No matter what I might wish for you, things are as they are. So I'm saying the phrase in relationship to my benefactor. So it's really about my equanimity, or not, in relation to what is happening for the benefactor. So I'm not wishing for my benefactor to be equanimous. That's not what this is. It's about my equanimity in relationship to this person or to this person. That's why with equanimity practice, we start with the neutral person, because it's thought that, you know, basically, I don't care so much. So I have equanimity because I don't care. You know, it's not highly developed equanimity. But, you know, and then as we stay with the practice, maybe with the neutral person, we notice ourselves no matter what I wish for you, things are as they are. And then I just say, nothing happens, you know, or nothing happens. And I just then say it again. And maybe at some point I say, you know, you are a human being with your own inner life, your own, longings, your own pain. And maybe after a while, I have a little different attitude towards the neutral person. That can happen in the practice. Just like it does when we do metta for the neutral person, right? Often in retreats, we give guidance to have your neutral person be another person at the retreat. And when you do that, sometimes you start off very neutral, but then after a while, I've done that often, and I see someone at the retreat, and it's someone like that sort of initial response, neither positive nor negative, right, at first. And then, but I say, okay, may you be happy. And then something happens. And I know for myself, then, when I go into the dining hall, I can't wait for the neutral person to come so I can. So you see something changes, right? And the neutral person is no longer neutral. And then after a while, I just watch where is the neutral person? Let me bring loving kindness to you. So it changes, right? Yeah. Anyone experience that with neutral person? Something like that, yeah. Yeah, so that's interesting. It basically says that our hearts are good, right? But we don't always bring the hearts out, right? But hearts are very good. Mm-hmm. So that's the important point, that the equanimity practice is in relation. It's my sense of equanimity in relationship to myself, the benefactor, dear friend, neutral person, okay? And then we choose the phrases, and we have a lot of choices here. And you can experiment to see some what works for you. So there are a lot of opportunities. For example, the last one many people like, I have my path, or I have my life, you have your path, and I care about you. So this is saying, I want to have, I have a certain equanimity because you have your own causes and conditions and so forth, but I also bring in the care. Because very important that equanimity, I was saying last night, is not about being passive, and is not about being unemotional or distanced. And so kind of advanced capacity, right? It's not, and conceptually, sometimes it's hard to understand, right? It's not always easy. How can I have balance and still care? Try to think it out, it's not so easy, right? Or how can you, I think of some of the people who were, Dr. Martin Luther King from the U.S., had tremendous equanimity and tremendous action. They go together, right? But it's hard to understand conceptually how that is, right? So you try to think it out. But it's important that equanimity is not about passivity. It's not about inaction. It's not about standing by. But it's about really, in the moment, non-reactivity. So again, hard to understand, but you think maybe Dr. Martin Luther King, in the moment, he had a certain balance about racism. He was not thinking all the time, there was a certain balance there, In English, we would say that he accepted that this was real, but he did not accept that it should stay. Right? So two meanings of acceptance, right? He accepted that this was the reality, and he had a certain equanimity that this is the reality, but he still responded out of compassion to the reality. So again, I'm not going to say much more because not to think it out too much. Okay? Usually when I teach on equanimity, compared to the other three, most questions about equanimity. Because conceptually it's a little bit, it's tricky, sometimes paradoxical. Okay, just so you know that, try not to think it out too much. Okay, I hope that helps some. Okay. So the practice would be to find a phrase which seems to work for you. You could take the one I use, or that last one's very nice. The traditional phrase has to do with karma. And generally, we listed that just because that is a traditional phrase. But karma is a very complicated topic, which I will not discuss. And if that's complicated for you, I do not suggest the first phrase. Okay, so maybe one of the others. Okay. So mostly it's just find a phrase, and then we'll start with the neutral person. We'll go to the, today we'll go, in this session, we'll go also to the benefactor, dear friend, and I'll work with the timing. And we'll go to self, and then in other sessions you can bring in also the difficult person later. You can do that on your own, and I'll give some guidance for that later. Okay? So, okay. And we'll start with metta practice, as we've been doing. And the suggestion is to do a period of the metta, like we were doing with the compassion and mudita. For this session, we'll do about 10 minutes of metta, and then I'll give some guidance to move to equanimity practice, and I'll take us through the different categories. Okay, so we'll start now with metta practice, about 10 minutes. Where the metta practice, your choice, which beings, okay? Maybe you could do one or two. Where it seems to, the metta is the easiest for you. And now, beginning with equanimity practice, again, I will come back when to guide us to shift. We start with the equanimity practice with the neutral being, the neutral person, usually. You can use the same person that you used yesterday when we brought in neutral. So generally, we stay with the same ones for all the different practices. And so see which phrase seems to call you the most. You can experiment a little bit, but try to find the one that you want to work with pretty quickly. Now continuing the equanimity practice, moving to equanimity in relationship to the benefactor. And now going to equanimity in relationship to the dear friend. And we can continue, if this works for us, to use the technique with four parts of having the image of the person or the felt sense of the person, feeling the heart, saying the phrase to ourselves, and then noticing what happens just for a few seconds after the phrase, and then returning and doing that four-part sequence again. So if that's useful, please use that also for the equanimity practice. And now moving to equanimity practice in relationship to oneself. Staying with the same phrase, the same technique. So for the practice today, similar to yesterday, the suggestion is to practice something like the way we just did, to do a period of metta first. We have some continuity. If you want to bring in some of the compassion and mudita, that would be fine also, but we're going to be our basic organizing principle is to do metta first and then can switch to the equanimity. You could do it very much like we just did it, to we went through neutral person, benefactor, friend, and self, about 4 or 5 minutes each. You could do it that way. You can do a little bit more metta if we have a 45-minute session. And you can see what works for you. One way to do it would be to, this morning, stay more with like what we just did, and then maybe in the afternoon, bring in the difficult person, maybe all beings. Or if you want to, it's okay just to stay where it seems to flow the easiest. Okay, that's up to you. The main thing is just to get a period of practice doing the equanimity practice, and you know, have most of the day practicing it so it gets familiar. Okay? So we have some time if there are any questions about the practice. I see about 8 hands, so I think I will not have time for everyone. So, okay. Please, is it Joseph, yeah. And speak more loudly, yeah.
There are two, so I'll try to make them fast. The first is in the equanimity practice towards the self. Are we speaking more of the self in the present moment, like my mind state as it is, and accept that it may be distracted or painful or something like that, or more like a sense of the story of myself and my perceived feeling?
Yeah. So the question is about when we do equanimity practice towards self, are we focusing on the present moment or my own life history and story? The way I work with it, I think, is really not to choose one of those. We just say the phrase and see what happens. Okay, so it's not so much to say, I will have equanimity in relation to my present experience, or I will develop equanimity in relation to my whole life. Could be a way to practice, but the general way is to, it's like the metta, you say the phrase, it's more general, and then you see what comes up. Okay.
And the second is, I peeked and I went to the difficult person, and when I did, a voice came up and he says, I know, forever, I've heard that if the mind is like a field of snow, and wherever people walk in it, or where paths are formed, wherever paths are formed or where people walk. And say this difficult person was, say there was a traumatic event in the past, and I feel that recently maybe there have been a few snowdrifts that have started to cover up those trails. And now that little voice says, well, like, why walk in those trails again? Like, why reopen these trails? Why, like, there's the fear that maybe this is going to increase the frequency of papanja maybe surrounding this person. So what could I tell that voice?
Let's see. So let me see if I understand your question. This is in relationship to a difficult one. And I would suggest getting your practice with equanimity first before you go to something difficult, subtle, complex. Okay, that's my general suggestion. And so maybe we can save that question for the afternoon mostly. My quick answer would be, just say the phrase and see what comes up, and maybe there's an insight that, you know, maybe you, you know, could be an insight with a difficult person. There's trauma in the person's background, so that goes to the aspect of understanding that's linked with equanimity. And maybe if I understand, you know, it's in French they say to understand is to forgive. Some of you maybe know that phrase in French. I won't say it in French. Okay. But it's understanding is connected with compassion, right? And so maybe you understand trauma some, and something in you is less reactive towards this person, right? Okay. Here and then in the back. Okay. Yeah.
When I try to think that way of equanimity towards someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or to be mind kind, like hot or cold, and I can't it doesn't become a feeling, so I can't give someone something I don't feel. You know?
So you're talking about both metta and equanimity?
Maybe because I don't understand it myself, I can't give it to other people.
But are you talking about metta or equanimity?
No, equanimity.
Yeah. The development of equanimity is about my equanimity. I am not offering equanimity to the others. That's not the practice. That would be, we could say, may you have equanimity. That would be more like a metta phrase. Here, the phrases are about my equanimity in relation to you, to this other person. And so, so we're developing equanimity, but we're not, in the equanimity practice, we're not offering equanimity to the other.
Is it true to simplify things and say it's like some kind of patient?
Equanimity is patient, yeah. Yeah, so that could be a result of the equanimity practice. It's similar to what Joseph said. If I do equanimity practice and I with a difficult person and I say, no matter what I wish for, things are as they are, and maybe the person has trauma, which means maybe the person sometimes is very reactive towards me, right? And I do the equanimity practice and I think, oh, there's trauma. And maybe you think, oh, I think I can be more patient with this person because I understand, right? Could be like that. That could be a result. And this is more on the level of reflection, right? It's sort of after I say the phrase, that's what I think. That's so we don't want to have, you know, we don't want to say the equanimity phrase and then think for half an hour, right? But thinking for, you know, a little while is okay, right? And then we might think, oh, it's good to be more patient with this person. That could be a result. So does that get at it?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. And then in the back?
I actually think that
you have to speak more loudly. I answered the question. So that's good. How many people's questions who had hands up did I already answer? Okay, very good. Maybe on the side, please.
I choose that I had my path and you had your path.
Yeah.
So I wonder how it works to myself.
Very good question.
So I choose another.
Let's see. Maybe you would just drop the second part. You would say, I have my path and I care. And you see what comes up. And you say, you could, you know, if I was doing it, I might say, I have my path and I care about you. And I might think, oh, my path is weird. but it's good. You know, some, maybe it could be like that. So I think if you use that one for yourself, just drop the second one. And it still has meaning, I think. Yeah. Okay, please. And then, then.
No, I have interviews at
10. Oh, you have meetings at 10, okay. What we could do is just, is any other thing? Because I wasn't aware of anything else. Maybe you and the person could just go right now. What?
Maybe just don't go over too much.
Yeah, I was going to go over about 5 minutes. Is that okay? Okay. Okay, who is next? Okay, please.
I saw on the board the sentence.
A little louder.
I saw on the board the sentence.
I'm not hearing so well, sorry. You can come up closer, maybe.
I saw on the board.
Oh, yeah.
The sentence, you are the inherited of the result of your.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful, but when I'm saying it to another person, isn't it a judgment?
Yeah, so this is related to the first phrase, which I mentioned is the traditional one related to the notion of karma. Karma just means action, in, literally, in the tradition. And it's somewhat complicated, and so it would be easy to become judgmental. Basically, in English we say, you made your bed, now you have to lie in it. Which is a little bit, it's not doesn't sound like compassion, does it? And so, yeah, it's tricky. If you're using that phrase, and I would use it with some caution, if you're using the phrase, then you want to understand it, that it means, it doesn't mean, there actually are places in the text where the Buddha said, if you think that what is happening in the present moment is simply the result, like if you have painful experience, is simply the result of the past, that would be going beyond what you can say. And he went into analysis of like 8 different kinds of causality, of which karma is one. He also mentioned climate and, you know, could say social conditions and so forth. So you see it gets complicated. But generally, if you use that phrase, could interpret that your happiness is dependent on your action, but it means especially action both in the past and in the present moment. In other words, you can have difficult past, and in the present moment, you're still acting, and you can be skillful in the present moment. So it's not just about the past. That's the key point. Okay, thank you. Please. Yeah.
I cannot control your actions.
Yeah.
And is it okay that when I say this phrase, I feel in the start a lot of metta?
Yeah.
And then it's like equanimity. It's like the equanimity comes from the metta in the start. It's like
yeah.
A lot of metta, and then is it supposed to be like that?
Yeah, so he's reporting that he says the phrase, what is it? Which one is it?
I wish you happiness.
I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you.
Yeah.
And he's experiencing, when he says that phrase, sometimes he feels metta first, as we connect with the happiness, and then maybe some equanimity?
I don't know if it's equanimity.
The thing to do is, again, here it's like all of the practices, we say the phrases, and then we let whatever happens happen. So it'd be very natural if you use that phrase, there'd be a sense of metta, and give a little more time, maybe there's also equanimity, but whatever happens is okay. So we're really actually not saying, we are not saying with this is supposed to happen. It's very personal, it's very individual. You say the phrase, and for one person says that and feels metta, another person feels that and says, why am I wishing your happiness? You're already happy. I'm the one who's not happy. That's what another person says that, so it's different. Yeah. So I think mostly just say you can say it and see what happens, and it will also change. You know, in the morning you will feel metta, and maybe in the afternoon it'll be a little different. So it sounds like it's working because your heart's open. That's the important thing. That's good. Okay, maybe last one. Yeah. Okay.
So I really feel the contradiction between hoping something would happen and sitting in the metta.
Yeah.
And like I couldn't feel nothing but the contradiction, especially when I told myself I don't control your karma.
Yeah.
But I kind of assume I do when I do metta.
Yeah. Yeah, so feeling a sense or having the sense of a contradiction between doing the metta practice and doing the equanimity practice. I mentioned that is, there is a, and this was also Ruth's question earlier, and that it's, they're almost like different languages. And so there, I prefer to see it more as creative tension rather than contradiction. Because they can live with each other, right? It's not It's not contradictory, and it's at first to the mind, it's logically, it can be logically contradictory, right? But if you stay with it, they can go together. In other words, you can have care and equanimity at the same time. And I think people learn this a lot with children, right? Right? You care, but you let the child, as the child grows up, child has his or her own life, right? So there's some equanimity. You let things be as they are, but there's also caring. Right? It's a little bit like that. So if you want to just have one or the other, it actually can be a problem. You know, if you don't have equanimity as a parent, good luck, they say. Or maybe with a friend or with governments and so forth. Okay, so thank you. Very, very good questions. You see, I think my experience is that with equanimity, most questions. But they're good ones, aren't they? Everyone is very, very helpful to our learning together. And so just three announcements. First is, some of you, probably most of you saw, we have sign-ups for optional groups at, 11:25. That'll be in the same place as we've been each meeting. And you can sign up for that. And there's also room to sign up, beneath it, if the groups fill up, right? Is that true? So we want to know how many people want optional groups. And the groups are especially for maybe asking questions. But it also could be, this is happening in my experience. You know, what do I do? Or any comments. But it's not like the first groups, not like individual check-ins for each person. That's not the style, okay? And so be aware of that. Sign up, and do sign up even if you can't go to the first one, because we may do a second one in the afternoon. Secondly, the schedule in the afternoon is a little bit different. We have a meeting in here at 4:15 that's very important, connected with the retreat. So everyone please come 4:15. You know, it's not a time for a break. Everyone come at the 4:15 session. It'll be a brief session, okay? And maybe we should put that up. Is that up on the board? Okay. So, okay. And then thirdly, we will be starting in the evening and continuing most of tomorrow, focusing on how to bring the practices into daily life. How to take what we're doing here and be skillful about bringing them into daily life every day and so forth. So just to know that we'll cover that. And the best thing is even for the groups or to focus on the practice here, and then we'll focus on daily life starting in the evening. Okay? So have a wonderful day, last full day of practice. Enjoy. And yeah, we'll see. We'll be coming, walking meditation, then come back at 10:45 for sitting. Okay. Thank you.